you pray for me tonight. Matthew 21, verse number 1. And when they drew nigh to Jerusalem, were come to Bethphage to the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied, a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, you shall say, the Lord hath need of them. And straightway he will send them. And all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell you, the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Son of David is Christ's messianic title. They were recognizing him as Messiah. This is our Savior. This is our Redeemer. Is this not the one that's promised from old? This is him. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Matthew chapter 23, verse 34. Matthew 23, verse number 34. What a difference a day makes. Are you listening? What a difference a day makes. Matthew 23, 34, wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall you scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed on the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, the son of Barachias, whom you slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. Well, there's quite a turn in the tone of events, isn't there? O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. See, God ain't going to force himself on nobody. Not me, not you, not this church, not this community, not this nation, not nobody. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth till you shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Your house is left unto you desolate. If God will be my helper, I'm going to talk to you for a minute or two, but it's going to take him. I'm going to talk to you on the subject of the difference a day makes from visitation unto desolation. What a profound portion of Scripture that in the space of a couple of chapters, you go one day forward in time and you find that the people have literally cut branches out of trees, strawed palm branches in the way, and shouted, Hosanna, glory to God in the highest. Hosanna to the Son of David. Our Savior's come. Our Savior's come. Until the next day, Brother C.L., you find the people of God, the Israelites, as they're complaining and grumbling and they're fussing and fighting with the Lord Jesus publicly. And they're in such a row that there comes the time the Lord rebukes the children of Israel and tells them that their city is about to be left desolate. The word visitation here is literally a manifestation, but it's visitation. And it was spoken of in Zechariah 9, verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, upon a colt, the foal of an ass. That verse of scripture was written 520 years before the day that the Lord Jesus rode in his triumphant entry. But you'll find there was other scripture written in Daniel chapter 9, verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore, to build Jerusalem, that commandment went forth on March 14 of the year 445 B.C. Unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. Prophetically, that's 69 weeks. But 69 weeks does not literally mean 69 literal weeks. It means 69 groups of seven. 69 groups of 7 years here. 483 Roman years, 475 Jewish years. And if they had paid attention and the learned men and the scholars had been watching and the Bible scholars had watched, they would have realized that the Word of God had prophesied in Daniel chapter 9 that on April 2nd, A.D. 30, the Lamb of God would have rode into Jerusalem on that little donkey. But they missed it. Just like a lot of people today miss it because they really wasn't looking for it. Visitation. A visitation when the Son of God, their Messiah, their Savior, had come to be with him. And it's absolutely amazing to me that God has taught throughout his entire word a remnant doctrine that there's only a few, Sister Vicki, Brother Ronnie, only a few that's ever really going to be saved. The Lord Jesus said, few there be that find it. I had the grand experience, Sister Lori and I, we cut our teeth as young Christians, as a young preacher in the Wilkes-Barre revival of 1993 when God breathed on our little town. And there was 11 weeks of revival meeting. There were 100 saved. There were preachers called. There were lives changed. Some of the greatest moves of God that I've ever seen in my life. And God Almighty sat down in Wilkes-Barre, North Carolina, and visited with his people, and it was one of the most glorious things that I've ever seen. I've literally witnessed 1,000 people in a tent laying prostrate flat out on the dirty ground while God fluttered around that tent, and the only thing people could do was lay and weep. I'm talking about a real visitation of God. A visitation from God. God in his grace and mercy in 2005, 2006 really began to move in the Flint Hill Revival a decade after that. God let us see great and mighty moves and wonderful things of God. And I literally knew what it was to literally, Brother Ronnie, sit in my driveway and see people come out of the woods, walking through the woods, weeping under conviction. Literally walked into a restaurant in the little town of Roaring River and walked in that restaurant and walked in the door with some people from the church. Sister Stephanie, there was so much God about the land and about the area and the people in the church. We literally walked in a restaurant and a little waitress in that restaurant ran back into a stock room and fell down on her face in a stock room and started begging God to save her. I'm talking about a visitation. And you would say, surely with a manifestation and a visitation where God would more than pour out his supernatural power, surely nobody would miss it. Surely nobody could miss it. But Brother Danny, they miss it every day. They miss it all the time. They miss it all around us. That God in His grace, God in His mercy, I see the visitation, I see the invitation. The invitation after 600 years without the glory of God in the temple, 400 silent years, 200 years before the silent years, before the book of Matthew, before the Lord Jesus was born in Bethlehem's stable, there were 600 years that there was no glory of God. And then that angel appeared to them shepherds. And behold, the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And after 600 years, Brother C.L., the glory came back. And the glory, according to the Word of God in John chapter number 1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made. And in Him is life, and life is the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness. But Miss Tammy, darkness comprehended it not. And when you get down to about verse 13, verse 14, it says He came to His own, but His own received Him not. How in the world? How'd they miss that, Miss Pat? But as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. That'd be me, by the way. And verse 14 says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And He dwelt among them in and out of Jerusalem and in all of Galilee. And for 3.5 years of public ministry, they saw eyeball to eyeball God in flesh. But Brother Ronnie, when it came to that cross of Calvary, there was a handful of women. And there was a few folks scattered around, but most of His disciples had run. And it was real easy to follow Jesus as long as He was handing out fish and hush puppies. But when things got tough, then they wouldn't know where to be found. And even when you come to the upper room, even after His resurrection, there's still not but 120 of them, Brother Danny. I see the invitation and the invitation, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers their chickens under her wings, and ye would not. There's a message of grace that God's extending His arms and saying, if you'd just come to Me, I'd fix you. If you'd just come to Me, I'd help you. But you see how they devalued the man of God, how they devalued the preacher of the gospel. The man of God means nothing to them. The message of God means nothing to them. And the Word of God said, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee. Brother Ron, there are Baptist churches all over this country today that can't get a pastor. And they ain't got enough money to pay one to come. You know what? There's a bunch of churches that don't deserve one. Or they don't want one. They don't want a pastor. They want an activities director. They want somebody to come in and pat them on the back and tell them how good they are and give her youngins some cookies and some Kool-Aid and send them on a bus ride and send them somewhere down to the mall to go shopping. But they ain't interested in a man of God that'll rake right back and lay his ears back, drop a bottom plow and run through their little old pea patch. I got news for you. It'll take preaching. If anybody ever gets saved by the grace of God, it'll take riding back and dropping the plow and running through somebody. Hey, listen, I had to have preaching before God ever saved me. God got me into a place, and my daddy gave me a cassette tape of Brother David Harrison preaching Stairway to Heaven or Highway to Hell, and it was an illustrated gospel message that incorporated rock and roll music to show me where I was at and who I was, and God used that to run through my little pea patch and tear my world up. There's the invitation, but I see the inclination. The inclination. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent to thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Men have to make their own choice. Men have to make, and it does not matter how clear the evidence is, many times people still have to make their choice. Sister Lori and I had a spiritual daughter, adopted daughter. I love her with all my heart. I still do. I ain't never quit loving her. And she had a dud of a man, buddy. I mean, she had her a real loser. And I watched him, and he made more trouble for me. He caused all kinds of trouble for me. He started out hating me, and then he decided he liked me, but he'd made so much trouble he couldn't go back and undo that, and he couldn't get away. He couldn't get away from that demon of pain pills. And them demons got in him and infested him, and he was such a mess. And there came a day in their little old life, he had sold everything that he had, took the money that he'd worked for, what he's supposed to have to make the house payment, and come up one day, and his wife calls me and Miss Lori, and she's crying and she's boo-hooing, and the world's come to an end. Somebody's broke into their house and stole his guns and stole all the money he'd worked for, where he'd left the house payment laying on the kitchen table. Right, y'all believe all that, don't you? Yeah, I didn't either. But my mistake was I told her. My mistake was I told her. I said, you don't believe that, do you? Miss Stephanie, that ended my relationship with my spiritual daughter right then, right there. She'd never want nothing to do with me again. Her biological daddy, who got saved under our ministry, was one of the dearest friends I had till he died, came to me several weeks later, and he said, Brother Mike, it's exactly what you said it was. It's exactly what you said it was. He sold them guns. He took that money. He put that stuff up his nose. He put that stuff in pain pills. He shot that stuff up in his arm, and the money's gone, and this thing's just a big mess, and you told her. But you know what, Brother Danny? There's some people just don't want to be told raw, unadulterated truth. They don't want to hear it. They'd rather believe a lie, Sister Eva, than they would for you to tell them the truth. And that's the way people are, because that's an inclination that people have. They have that inclination. And religious men just get mad. Revelation 3:16 said, so then because they're lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I'll spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. We got the most educated generation that's ever lived today, handle more money, knows more about electronics, got more. I mean, there are things going on in this world today that my grandparents would absolutely, they wouldn't know what to think of. But USA Today on December 24, 2023, the headline read, Americans are lonely and it's killing them. How the U.S. can combat this new epidemic. And a Harvard study in 2020 said 61% of people reported from 18 to 25 reported that they had serious problems with loneliness. What about that? And I see their inclination and I see the desolation. Desolation. Matthew 23:38, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. The word house here can literally mean a dwelling place, but by application it really means your household. It means your family. It means your community. It means your country. It means your church. It means your family. It means even your own miserable existence. And the damnation of desolation is simple. You want me to tell you what it is? It is the absence of the presence of God. The absence of the presence of God. I have walked in the fire of revival, and if God would be my helper, I refuse to walk in the smoke of religion. And you know why we don't have revival in America today? You know why we don't have revival in this county tonight? Because we're willing to live without it. Don't be willing to live without it. don't be willing to live without the presence of God. We need God so much. The manifest presence of God, a visitation of the Holy Ghost of God, that God would just see fit to come in the building, Brother Danny, and we just stand up to sing and the choir start to sing and some of these ladies begin to weep, and before you know what's happened, you've done left the choir loft and got in the altar and begin to waller around and cry and beg God to meet the needs you've got. And the Holy Ghost of God so loved to see the people of God broken and in that position that He says, I won't leave you desolate. And He'll come by and He'll visit, leave a gift of His presence and save sinners. And people will rejoice because God came by and visited with His people. The damnation of desolation is when God just leaves us alone without His presence. Without just Brother Ronnie, I've told this before and I love it. I'm going to tell it again. I was in, we were living in Rawlins, Wyoming. I was helping out there at the church. I guess I was the interim pastor, the church in Rawlins. And I love those people. Most of them that I pastored, they're dead and gone now. But I never will forget one Sunday morning, God had spoke to my heart, Brother Danny, and God, I was wanting God, these people need to see something. They ain't never really seen a move of God. They've never just seen the Holy Ghost fall in a service before. And I'd sure like to see you do something special. And God, the Holy Ghost spoke to my heart. He said, you do what I tell you to do. Okay, Lord. God said, you do what I tell you to do. And they got up, went through their little morning ritual, their routine like most churches do. You know, had their little song here and their little offering here and their birthday deal here. And I got done with all that. And they said, okay, now we'll dismiss to Sunday school. Everybody stood up and started to walk out to Sunday school. God, the Holy Ghost said, stop them. Stop them. I stood up and said, take your seat. Everybody sit back down. I got in that pulpit and God filled me, let me preach the word of God like my head was on fire, and God visited that place in His presence that day. And if those folks have got enough mind to remember today, they're still talking about the day God visited Rawlins, Wyoming. I'm talking about a visitation. I'm talking about men's inclination, and now I'm talking about desolation. Absence of His preeminence. That means Him being Lord, Him being in control of everything. God's not a glorified Santa Claus, and God's not a glorified puppet on a string, and we don't just yank His string and He dances a little jig and does what we want Him to do. He's Lord or He's nothing, and we've got to understand that. And we've got to come in understanding that He's the boss and we're going to have to do what He wants done. I'm talking about His preeminence. I see the absence of preeminence, the absence of His prescription. What's His prescription? Repentance. Repentance. Real, genuine repentance. But see, I see so often some old boy comes in and he's got drunk and he's beat his wife and he's shot a shotgun through the ceiling and his children's hiding under the bed. And by the time he sobers up on Sunday afternoon and trying to get his mind back enough where he can go to work on Monday morning, he's telling his wife how sorry he is and he ain't never going to do no such a thing as that again. And he's just so sorry and he can't believe he's done so wicked and hurt his family like that. And she'll cook him a scrambled egg and he's got a hangover and get him some clothes out to go to work on Monday morning. Miss Pat, by Friday evening, when he gets his paycheck, he runs right straight back out into the beer joint again. Miss Kim, that ain't repentance. That's just being sorry. Can I tell you, being sorry don't get it. I don't care how much you tell God you're sorry. If you're not willing to repent, sorry won't cut it. Sorry won't fix the problem that's going on. Repentance is a change of attitude, a change of the heart that works its way out of your heart into your life. It's not turning over a new leaf. It's not just deciding to do better. Repentance is a work of God in the heart of an individual where we're willing to surrender ourselves before the Spirit of God and say, Lord, do, here I am, do with me whatever you want to do. And let God do the changing. And when God does the changing, it'll change the absence of His presence. And the Lord Jesus hung on the cross and said, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me. Weep not for me. He said, weep for your own children. He said, you're going to reap the consequences of this. You know what the problem is in America tonight? People won't take responsibility for anything. And so many people in the church want to blame the devil for everything. You know, the devil's just aggravating me. He's just picking on me. And the devil's just bothering me. No, it's just the consequences of your wicked sin. But here they are, 90 A.D., just 30-some short years after Christ rode that donkey through that gate. 30-some-odd short years after the Lord Jesus cried, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets. And Titus, the Roman general, came in and took the city of Jerusalem and literally plowed the streets up and literally crucified more than 1 million Jews. They said that Josephus, the Jewish historian, said there wasn't any wood found left in all of Judea, that there were so many Roman crosses where they had crucified so many Jews on the hills of Judea, there was no wood left. Why did that happen? I'll tell you why it happened, Miss Sue, because of a visitation. It happened because if Christ had never visited, they would have never been responsible. But he came in through that gate riding on that little donkey and started out saying, Hosanna to God in the highest. Here's the Son of David. But how quickly they forgot and how easily they missed what was going on when they had their visitation. They had their opportunity. This thing could have turned out totally different. Matthew 23:39, for I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth till you shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. What in the world are you talking about, Brother Mike? The Lord Jesus told them the day after his triumphant entry, he said, you're not going to see me again until you say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. What does that mean? Brother Danny, that means in Matthew 24:29, after the tribulation. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and they shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. What are you trying to say, Brother Mike? I'm saying when Jesus made that statement, he was transitioning from being a prophet to being a priest. And he said, from this point forward, I'm not your prophet anymore. I'm going to be a priest. You've already rejected me, and now I'm going to go suffer and die on the cross of Calvary. And you won't see me anymore until you see me come in the clouds with great power and great glory. All because of a visitation. Desolation by definition means waste. It means desert. It means lonesome. It means lonely. Would you agree that's where America is tonight? She's desolate. She's lonesome. She's lonely. A whole lot of churches tonight, and I'm going to skip a whole bunch because I ain't got it in me, and I don't know if you got it in you either, but I'm going to tell you tonight, there's a whole bunch of churches that are lonely. Because they're meeting tonight and they're trying to go through the ritual and they're trying to go through the routine. Brother Ronnie, some of them got the best intentions in the world. They got a good man. He loves God. He loves his people. But he can't stir them. He can't get a holy grunt out of them. God the Holy Ghost ain't been there in the last 40 years and he ain't coming back. And men stand and they go through the ritual and they'll sing the same songs. Miss Judy, they'll go through the same deal. Brother Ed, they're going to pray the same prayers. They're going to take up the same offering. It's going to be the same deal over and over. But what's wrong, Brother Danny, is there's no visitation and there's no manifestation of the presence of the Holy Ghost of God. Pleasant Grove, are you willing to live without that? I ain't willing to live with that. I want to pay the cost, whatever it costs, whatever it is, to have the presence of the Holy Ghost of God. What about our church? What about our country? Isaiah said, your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers, devour it in your presence. If that ain't America today, I'll eat your dirty socks. They're devouring it in our presence. It's desolate as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage and a vineyard, as a lodge and a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. And the Lord said, except the Lord of hosts should have left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been likened to Gomorrah. There's churches that are lonesome tonight, and this country's lonesome tonight because it don't have the presence of. You know, there was a time in this country when God was on the land, Brother Ed. There was a time when God was on the land. There was a time when drunks had better sense than to come party in the church parking lot. There was a time when God was on the. We don't have that anymore. We don't live there anymore. We don't live there anymore. I mean, we got youngins in school today that'll stand up and cuss their teachers. We got youngins today that'll stand up and cuss law enforcement. They don't care. They don't care. Because God's done left. God's done judged the deal. How did he judge the deal? You think if God's going to judge something, we see fire and brimstone. No, the judgment of God's, he just left. He's just gone. And there are times when sinners will send away their day of grace. Proverbs 1:24 said, because I called and you refused, I stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But you set it not all my counsel, and would none of my reprove. And I also will laugh at your calamity. Can you imagine God said that? I'm knee-deep in the King James Bible. That's what God said. God said, I'll laugh at your calamity. And when your fear cometh, and there's that word again, is desolation, Brother Don. Desolation. And your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they will not find me. And I quote this regular in Hebrews 12:16, lest there be any fornicator or any profane person such as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. And afterward, when he would have received the blessing, was rejected and found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. God said, that day will come and you'll cry and you'll beg me. And God said, I will not be moved by your tears. When God in his holiness, and I'm through, we're going to the house. God in his holiness, Miss Charlene, God sovereignly chooses. Are you listening? God sovereignly chooses, N-O-T, not to intervene in the affairs of men and angels. God simply leaves you alone and let you have what you think you want.